Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Codere's first quarter 2019 results presentation. The management of the company will run you through the main business and financial highlights of the period. After the prepared remarks, we'll open the line to questions. You may ask a question by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. For those connected to the webcast, you may type your question directly into the Q&A window at any time during the call. I'm now pleased to hand over to Mr. Ángel Corzo, Chief Financial Officer of the company. Please, sir, go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for our Q1 2019 financial results presentation. As in prior calls, our CEO, Vicente Di Loreto, will cover the most relevant events of the quarter. After his remarks, I will cover the financial highlights of the period, and then we will both take your questions.
Okay. Thank you, Ángel. Good afternoon to everyone. I'm glad to present again a solid set of quarter results in which we continue to deliver positive performance and execution of our business plan to energize and maximize our growth capacity. In this quarter, we have not only been able to maintain our adjusted EBITDA level in €68 million, despite the devaluation of Argentina and the new gaming taxes, but, as I will be explaining, we have shown strength of results in our key markets of Mexico and Spain, while our online operations continue to gather momentum, not only in Spain, but also now in Mexico. Even more, we are also achieving significant internal milestones, such as our new organization or the launch of our new brand image, milestones that give us all as a team the energy and motivation to keep improving our industry and growing with it. As we had anticipated, the devaluation in Argentina made this first quarter a difficult comparable for us. Still, we have beaten our own expectations and have matched last year adjusted EBITDA at €68 million. This remarkable performance is a result of our strong numbers in Mexico, where new capacity and performance enhancement efforts are helping us navigate through the proliferation of new halls that usually accompanies a change of government in the country. Spain is also contributing positively, and as Ángel will explain later, we are now starting to deliver the LTM growth in the retail operation we all were expecting. It is also very remarkable the positive evolution of our online activities. As we said, this should be a year of transition in this business, with marketing and product investments getting the headlines. So far, and while this is still part of the story, it is also true that revenues are behaving particularly well in Spain, and early signs in Mexico are also encouraging, helping us to beat our expectations. In other markets, just a couple of words to emphasize the strong performance in Uruguay and Colombia, the latter finally consolidating its turnaround, which compensates market weakness in Panama. Coming back to the overall picture, I would like to emphasize certain pieces of data that show the turnaround of the company and the success of our efforts in the last year. First, our adjusted EBITDA margin is today at 19.5% on an LTM basis, the highest since early 2012, despite decreased margins in Argentina and Italy in this quarter as a consequence of the tax increases introduced this year in both countries. So I cannot stress enough the importance of this figure in a context where gaming taxes have continuously increased during the last year. Secondly, Argentina represents today only a quarter of the LTM EBITDA of the company, showing how we are gaining in diversification, which should help the predictability and stability of our earnings. Third, EBITDA outside Argentina has grown in 12 months from 145 LTM in Q1 2018 to almost 200 million in Q1 2019, a very significant jump in profitability that we expect will continue in following quarters and will help us meet our guidance for the year and growth expectation for 2020. On top of delivering EBITDA growth, another key priority this year is cash flow generation. Ángel will expand on this later, but we are working to optimize investments and cash deployment, to be able to show this year positive cash generation before debt amortization, despite an exceptional working capital swing in Q1, which we expect to unwind from Q2 onwards. As a reflection of this, maintenance and especially growth capex were carefully deployed in the quarter to preserve cash while we look for avenues to optimize our balance sheet. Coming back to the deployment of our business plan, we also have significant news on that front. First of all, we have pushed forward in our organizational efforts, critical for our value creation capacity in the mid and long term. We have integrated operations under the helm of two COOs for the group. Carlos Villaseca is now in charge of the retail business, and Moshe Dre continues in charge of online. This new organization will accelerate our transition to a client-centric operation, fully focused on providing a fulfilling, differentiated experience to each of our clients by using CRM, technology, product and market experience, and a multi-channel, multi-product approach. Carlos is our former CEO from Mexico, who later also took over operations in Colombia and Panama. The numbers in these markets under his management speak for themselves, and we believe he is the best suited manager to apply our strategic client-centric approach across all of our retail segments. He has over 20 years of experience in gaming, and I'm sure he will continue to succeed in this new endeavor. Together with this, we are creating global functions areas allowing us to centralize and digitalize back office services, ultimately improving our responsiveness and ability to adapt to the demanding market dynamics we face across our businesses and geographies. This new organization, though just implemented, is already delivering results. By integrating operational teams across geographies, we are finding opportunities to enhance our approach to customers, optimize our CRM and SPM analytics, and generate improvement opportunities across our geographies, but very especially in key markets like Spain or Argentina. In the meantime, the focus of Moshe and the online team is today in the commercial expansion of our business in Mexico. After starting our promotional campaigns in the media and the web in February, March and April figures are showing positive trends, even if it is still too early in the process. The launch in Colombia will happen in this second quarter, and by the end of the year, we should be seeing revenues starting to pick up, even if growth at the EBITDA level will not come until next year. Last but not least, online regulation in Argentina is accelerating, and we are preparing to be ready for it. Related to these online ventures, but also to our sports betting footprint and our marketing strategy, we have just renewed our sponsorship agreement with Real Madrid, increasing considerably the number of promotional, advertising, and hospitality rights available to us. We will now be their official sports betting partner for the next three seasons, with two more optional ones under our discretion. The deal covers Spain and the Latin territories, in which Real Madrid brand recognition is in certain cases almost as high as in Spain. The decision to renew was fostered by significant evidence in our internal analysis that visibility and awareness of the Codere brand have benefited tremendously from this deal, and that it has contributed to strengthen the experience of our customers. Finally, we also believe that this is a unique, highly valuable asset that provides differentiation and that can be strategic in a context where we believe gaming advertising rules should be introduced. To conclude, I would just like to highlight the continuous effort by all members of the organization to deploy successfully our transformation project and how the effort of everyone in the team is helping us to deliver results quarter on quarter. I will leave it here for now. Thanks again for joining us today, and I will be happy to respond to any questions afterwards. I will now hand it over to Ángel to cover the financial results of the quarter. Ángel, it's all yours.
Thank you, Vicente. Now, as usual, I will be following the presentation that we shared with investors earlier this morning. Unless otherwise noted, we will be referring to figures in euros and excluding non-recurring items above EBITDA. We will also be excluding inflation adjustments due to the application of IAS 2029 on Argentina's reported figures. Also, we will continue to analyze the figures pre-application of IFRS 16 for continuity and comparability purposes, though the results applying the new accounting standards are provided in the earnings release. Finally, please notice that we have created a new online business unit that pulls together revenue and costs from the online business in all markets where it operates, including Spain, Mexico, Colombia, and a bit of Panama. Starting on page 8, Q1 2019 revenues dropped 6.7% to 358 million versus Q1 last year, due to the significant depreciation of the Argentine peso, which was partially offset by revenue growth in Mexico, online, and Spain. More importantly, the trend in the rate of the revenue decrease is already reversing before we reach the second quarter, when the devaluation of the Argentine peso started last year. In terms of geographic mix, Mexico, Argentina, and Italy continue to be our main markets, with close to a quarter of our revenue each, with Spain gaining traction to a 14%. For the first time, we include online as a separate business unit, already providing 4% of the total revenue of the group in this first quarter of 2019. On page 9, Q1 adjusted EBITDA remained stable versus last year, reaching 68 million euros. The LTM figure is up by 10 million or 3.7% to 283 million euros. As Vicente mentioned earlier, we believe this is a very solid result considering the difficult comparable we had with Q1 2018. That was the last quarter before the devaluation in Argentina, which together with the new gaming taxes in Argentina and Italy, where we have also reduced significantly our deployed capacity and the regulatory requirement, make our Q1 2019 result remarkable. This performance was achieved thanks to growth in Mexico, online, and Spain, but also smaller countries such as Uruguay and Colombia. Mexico remained our main market in Q1 by a wide difference, representing 42% of our EBITDA in the quarter and 37% in the LTM period, at the expense of Argentina, which reduced its weight in our EBITDA mix by 16 percentage points to 24% in the quarter and 13 percentage points to 29% on an LTM basis. On page 10, you can see how we have reduced our exposure to Argentina to 2014 levels in terms of revenue and EBITDA. More importantly, as Vicente mentioned earlier, we have delivered substantial growth in other markets. Our adjusted EBITDA outside of Argentina grew by more than 50 million to 199 million euros in the last 12 months, a trend that we expect to maintain in the coming quarters. Moving on to page 11, we continue to expand our adjusted EBITDA margin, which has reached its six-year high at 19.5%. Operating expenses other than gaming taxes were reduced by 6 percentage points in the period, driving this significant margin improvement. We continue to deploy measures to reduce expenses, digitalize our operations and support functions, and address more efficiently our client needs and expectations. Skipping page 12, which provides our results in USD in dollars for reference purposes, on page 13, we are breaking down the macro impacts on Q1 2019 EBITDA, both in Argentina and in the rest of the group. In the case of Argentina, the hyperinflation in a context of severe devaluation and macroeconomic recession is deriving in a loss of purchasing power in euro terms that derives in a contraction of the gaming market, more so if the product is subject to tax increases as it has happened in these recent years. On the other hand, the rest of the group is achieving significant operational growth, nearly 14 million of operational improvements, maintaining, if not reinforcing, the trend of the last quarters. Moving on now to country-level results and starting with Mexico on page 14. Revenue in the quarter grew by 9% to 83.5 million euros, partially driven by a favorable FX context, but also due to the increased capacity in the market as we opened 4 halls last year. Adjusted EBITDA grew considerably by 38% versus Q1 last year as a result of significant operational efficiencies and the positive impact from last year's acquisition of slots that were previously leased. As a result, the EBITDA margin in the quarter reached 36%. On page 15, performance in local currency was below that in euros due to the favorable FX I just mentioned. In the last months, as the governments changed, more than 60 halls were opened, and that impacted visitors, as some of our halls were directly affected by the openings. We were able to offset this decline with a 6.8% increase in spend per visit. This inflow of openings is already declining, and we expect the new government to be shy in the short term in expanding the number of halls operating in the country. Moving on to Argentina on page 16, revenue declined 34% of 42 million to 81 million euros in the quarter as a result of the significant appreciation of 83% of the euro against the peso. In addition, as has been mentioned before, the cashing tax applied since last year now netted out of our revenue, and the new cash out tax applied since February, together with a market contraction in real terms, are also impacting our revenue significantly. As said in prior quarters, our market shares remains fairly stable in the 42 to 43% area, despite the fact that our competitors are just beginning to transfer the cashing tax to their clients. In terms of EBITDA, it declined further by 43%, reaching 70 million euros in the quarter. Though our efforts to contain and reduce operational expenses have been very important in the last quarters, the new cash out tax has resulted in a margin contraction. In local currency, on page 17, revenue and EBITDA grew 21% and 5% respectively, well below inflation of 52% in both cases. Though, as we have stated, inflation does not represent the evolution of spend for clients in leisure activities, given the current macro context. Turning to Spain on page 18, revenue grew 8% to 49 million euros in the first quarter, while EBITDA improved further by 25% to almost 10 million. Keep in mind, figures in Spain for 2018 and 2019 now only reflect our retail business, while 2017 numbers in the page still includes online revenue, and thus the zone evolution of revenue. As a result, margins improved by 2.6 percentage points to 19.7%, even more looking at the LTM picture, where 17.6% compares to a 14% in Q1 2018. As we mentioned in prior calls, Spain is a top priority for management this year, and we are pleased to see a changing trend both in terms of revenues, where our investments in sports betting and also the increased capacity from last year are beginning to crystallize, but also on EBITDA. We have already implemented significant operational efficiencies, and with the new management team, we have defined and are starting to deploy an ambitious operational improvement plan that we expect will impact results in the second half of the year. On page 19, we increased the portfolio of AWPs by 7% compared to Q1 2018. Part of this growth has been achieved in the arcade segment, resulting in a reduction of 3% in unit yields. With regards to retail sports betting, amounts wagered grew by 21% on an LTM basis in Q1, and take remained flat at 19%. We have 26% more installed sports betting terminal compared to 2018, although on a sequential basis we have started to slow down deployment of additional capacity as the full country has now been regulated. Sports betting gross win increased by 21% in line with increasing amounts wagered. Moving on to Italy on page 20, revenues increased 1%, while adjusted EBITDA dropped by 24% to 4.7 million. This increase of revenue is a result of the increased accounting revenue recognition derived from the new tax increases combined with less deployed capacity and increased yields per machine. These increases in the pre-tax of AWPs and VLTs are the drivers of the evolution of the EBITDA margin, which contracts 1.8 percentage points to 5.5%. On page 21, the 16% reduction in the average installed AWPs was more than offset by a 24% increase in unit yields. On the VLT side, both capacity and unit yields declined 1%. In terms of network-connected units, we continue to reduce the number with a 7% sequential decline versus Q4 2018. This reduction finally brings us within the objectives defined by the Italian government. Looking now at Panama and Colombia on page 22, the former posted a 12% decrease in revenue and 17% drop in EBITDA due to the closing of two non-performing casinos in the second quarter of last year and the strong market contraction suffered by the industry in the first months of 2019. In Colombia, on the other hand, our operation continues to recover, with EBITDA being almost triple that of last year. This is a result of an ambitious plan of restructuring, which implied the closure of non-performing assets, hence the revenue reduction, and significant headcount and operational savings. With regards on Uruguay, on page 23, as we anticipated in our last call, the positive trend in December and January remained throughout the quarter. Revenue and EBITDA in HRU grew 14% and 30% respectively. In the case of Carrasco, revenue growth was 10%, while EBITDA grew by 20%. Finally, looking at our online business on page 24, the positive revenue trend continued in Q1, where it reached 15 million euros versus 9 million in Q1 2018. 11 of those 15 million were generated in Spain versus 6 last year. The rest mainly comes from Mexico, where the impact of the marketing campaign is starting to show in March, but will probably be more visible in Q2. On an LTM basis, revenues reached 50 million, close to 80% more than Q1 2018. From a product mix perspective, slots and casino games continue to gain ground, representing already 30% of our online revenues. EBITDA reached 1.2 million in Q1 2019, excluding the 2.7 million in marketing and operational costs we are considering as non-recurring. As we recently started to launch commercial efforts in Mexico and Colombia to attract new customers. These online results are beating our early year expectations, so we are very excited to see how investments in Mexico and Colombia in the second quarter will impact our client numbers and financials. Moving on to credit overview on page 26, our cash generation in Q1 was negatively impacted by a large working capital outflow, which we will cover later. Being so, our cash generation does not reflect yet the reduction in corporate income tax paid or the increase in adjusted EBITDA. Still, on an LTM basis, free cash flow before growth capex grew over 26% versus Q1 2018. Our free cash flow after growth capex was 14 million euros, a similar amount to what we did generate on average on 2017 or 2018. Which shows our prudent approach to growth capex in 2019. Growth initiatives are going to be selected very carefully this year to maximize returns as well as a strategic fit while preserving cash generation in the group. On page 27, you can see how maintenance capex went below 5% in the first quarter of the year, We expect the total this year to be closer to the 75 level rather than the 80 million we spent last year. In terms of working capital, on page 28, and given the high figure we are reporting, we are providing you a bit more of detail in how it is broken down. There are a number of one-off effects in the quarter that need to be explained. First, the Uruguayan government slipped some monthly payments of our share in the HRU business from the first to the second quarter. Second, the transfer of the lease of one closed hall in Mexico is being cast progressively in the year with final installment in February 2020. These items only generate time differences. The increase in payroll in Italy generates, on the other hand, unreal investment on our part as we anticipate greater amounts to the government that we then collect from route operators, usually with a couple of weeks time lag. In addition, there is adverse seasonality in the first quarter related to other receivables from different governments, including the 0.5% network canon in Italy or the contributions to horse race prices by the Uruguayan and Panamanian local authorities. Tax deferrals in Spain are also a working capital outflow as we continue to progressively reduce the principal amount. Also, in terms of suppliers, we are seeing a move of 5 to 10 million, partially a rebound from payables left behind at the end of last year, in particular with respect to legal advisors in headquarters. We expect that, as usual, the second quarter will unwind much of this amount to end the year at around a negative 10 to 15 million euros. Finally, in this section, on page 21, please note that we are providing pre- and post-IFRS 16 debt and leverage metrics. Gross debt was up 23 million at 886 versus December, mainly due to the appreciation of the US dollar versus the euro. Then we include 309 million in capitalized leases as per IFRS 16, what takes our total debt to a total of 1.2 billion. Leverage was up a peak at 2.9 times versus December 2018 and moved to 3.1 times considering EBITDA and debt using IFRS 16. Please let me remind you that for covenant-like purposes, inflation accounting in Argentina should be considered, which has no impact in this quarter, but IFRS 16 should not. Cash on balance sheet was 76 million, and our RCF remains mostly undrawn, providing ample liquidity of nearly 154 million euros. Pro forma interest expenses stood at 63 million, or 111 if we were to consider financial expenses from capital leases post IFRS 16. Finally, on page 31, we are confirming our guidance for adjusted EBITDA in 2019, as we are not expecting material deviations given the current operational performance and FX projections. This means that we continue to be comfortable in producing organic growth, savings and operational enhancements to more than offset tax increases and the difficult macro context in Argentina. Please note that on page 33 in the appendix, you can find IFRS 16 figures for EBITDA, gross debt, net profit and leverage. We plan to make a smooth transition in our reporting package so that investors and ourselves can be fully familiar with new IFRS 16 figures before we remove those based on the prior accounting standard. As usual, my last words to the team here at Codere. As you may imagine, the elaboration of these results has had additional layers of complexity versus the prior ones. Thank you, everyone, for the hard work. This is it for my prepared remarks. Vicente and I will now be happy to respond to any questions you may have. Operator, please open the call to questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question by phone, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you are connected to the webcast platform, you may type your question directly into the Q&A window provided. Thank you. The first question comes from Karine Elias from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, I had a couple of questions actually for me, please. Just going back to the performance of the team in Spain, can you walk us through a little bit what we've seen in the first quarter, and should we expect a similar trend for the balance of the year as well? And then my second question was, obviously, you know, with the lower exposure, obviously, to Argentina, you had talked, I think, on the prior call about intention to potentially raise some equity as well and look at refinancing the bonds. Any thoughts in terms of the timing of that, especially given that you've got a much lower exposure to Argentina there? Thank you.
Okay, in the first one in Spain, yes, we expect these results to consolidate over the course of the year, even to improve progressively towards the end of the year. I would only attach a couple of comments to that. Given the weight of the sports betting business in Spain, we are always subject to a bit of uncertainty regarding takes, but as long as takes are in the typical 18.5 to 19%, which is the average in which we have been navigating over the last couple of years on average, we are more than fine. You could have a bit higher and then the result goes up, but you should make the results thinking of a 19% take, give or take. So yes, we do expect Spain to continue to consolidate and to continue to provide growth quarter on quarter and to be a growing part of the mix in the coming periods. Second, referring to the exposure of Argentina, yes, it is coming down. It will be coming down in relative terms until Q3, where the full devaluation was practically fully implemented last year. Obviously, there is a bit of an additional notch for the higher taxes, and as you said, that is giving us to think in terms of how we look at our refinancing strategy in the coming quarters. As you know, we are getting close to the election cycle in Argentina, and that impacts our ability or our capacity to refinance. It is true, as you say, that we are delivering the message very strongly that Argentina is no longer as important, but we need to test that with the markets. So far, Argentina news have still had a bit of an impact in the trading of our bonds, even if, as we are discussing, Argentina is no longer such a critical part in our mix. Definitely, we will be attentive to how the market respond to our numbers and consider the options you mentioned or similar others or alternative ones to see which is our capacity to refinance the balance sheet.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Karim.
Thank you. The next question comes from Victoria Peace from Edison. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I had a few questions, actually. The first couple relating to online, so I'll start with those. Just in terms of your overall marketing spend, I know you have some exceptional marketing spend for online, but what would be your sort of recurring marketing spend in your online business at the moment? And also, could you just remind us what the tax rate for online gaming is in Mexico? Thanks.
Okay, starting... Hello, Victoria, and thanks for your questions. Regarding the marketing online, we are currently investing a bit over 7 million in the whole operation, so close to 4.7 to 5 are considered are in the recurring results, so to speak. It's approximately 30% of our growth GGR on the online business. And the remaining 2.7 is what is included as a non-recurring. Approximately, we are using that figure of 30% of the GGR to measure where we are in terms of marketing investments. The tax in Mexico is the same tax structure that we have for our offline business. That implies that there is a fee for participating in the game, which is taxed at VAT rates, which is 21% in Mexico, and then there is a gross a gaming tax of 30% on the earnings in Mexico.
Okay, thanks. And a couple other questions as well. What are your current thoughts for growth capex for the year, and are you still guiding to net cash positive net cash flow for the year? And then my final question was, when might we expect a turnaround in Panama following the closures of the non-performing casinos? Thanks.
Okay. In terms of growth capex, I think we are guiding towards around 20 million in pure growth capex and around 10 to 15 more if you include the marketing investments we were just discussing. So a total of 30 to 35 maximum growth capex this year. As I said in my earlier words, we are being very prudent on what we do this year and only adding into the mix capex which have clear returns and strategic fit so that we can maximize cash flows. To your second question, we expect this year to have to deliver positive cash flow before amortization of debt. That is where we are focusing, and I think that we will achieve that, even if we have a bit of a challenge, given that capex financing, given the slowdown in growth capex, will probably be negative in the year. But still, that's the goal that we have stated, and that's towards what we are working. And your last question in Panama. Panama has contracted the markets severely. There have been a couple of external factors. At early of the year, there was a bit of a blockade in the country given the visit of the Pope. Remember, Panama is very small. And then there were elections in Panama. The elections were the first week of May, so that also decreased economic activity in the country. We expect the numbers to start to show a difference between Q3 and Q4. I think it will take a bit of time. We are doing some things to improve our performance in Panama, not only regarding revenue, but we are doing some projects to improve our portfolio of assets there, to change the locations we close from some better performing ones, and you will receive news about that probably towards the end of the year.
Yes, I have to add for that before the end of the year we will be able probably to open two of the halls. We have closed two halls that were not performing, and we are moving them out of the center of the city of Panama, where the market trend is declining actually, and there is a demographic and market growth outside the city, and there is where we are moving our halls, and we expect to open these new ones before year end, and so probably in Q3 or Q4 we will see a clear recovery of our business there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Victoria.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, if you have any comments or questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad to enter the queue. If you're connected to the webcast platform, you may type your question directly into the Q&A window provided. Thank you. The next question comes from Miguel Medina from TP Capital. Please go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. Good afternoon. Three questions. The first one is on the Argentina and online. Can you elaborate a bit on where the legislation is heading, whether we are talking just about the province, or is there the possibility of also going into the city of Buenos Aires itself? The second question, is on Spain. If I understood correctly, it seems that there is going to be another round of efficiency gains in the second half of 2019. Are those gains, were those gains already included in the operational efficiencies that you were considering for your 2019 EBITDA target? And the third final one is on the sponsorship contract with Real Madrid, and linking this with the debate in Spain about the legislation on gaming, advertising, and sponsoring. Whether, you know, what do you think the outcome of those discussions is going to be, and whether there is any risk of a restriction in a sponsorship, and how that could impact the contract that you have just renewed with Real Madrid. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's start one by one. Argentina, obviously the government is closing in the regulation. The final regulation is not yet defined. And as you said, here we are talking about different jurisdictions. We are exploring the two that are moving. The two that are moving are the province of Buenos Aires and the city of Buenos Aires. And we are preparing to be able to apply to licenses in both of them. I don't know, Vicente.
Yes, I can add on that. In the case of the Buenos Aires province, first of all, it's important to mention that the ruling party in both jurisdictions are the same party, and there is a high coordination between both governors. Therefore, they have a certain agreement that they will come up with a regulation more or less at the same time. Having said this, the province has begun the process before. They have opened a registration for interested companies, which was closed yesterday. And as far as we know, there were in the neighborhood of 15 interested companies. And we expect that the authorities will issue the detailed procedure of how the process will be the process we need to follow in the coming weeks. So it's something that is already ongoing. We expect to have, probably definitions in the next couple of months. Also, the city they are in the process of developing their own regulation that, as far as we know, is not necessary, will not necessarily be exactly the same, but we have also got information that they are planning to coordinate both regulations in the future, and probably operators registered in the Buenos Aires province will be able to operate also in the city and vice versa. So this is ongoing. This is an interesting opportunity, and of course we already presented us as an interested party, and we are following up very closely the process because it's a good opportunity for us.
Second, regarding the additional round of efficiency gains in Spain. Yes, you're right. To a certain sense, these are additional to the guidance we gave in the first quarter. We have not increased guidance now because the expected contraction in Argentina because of the recession is going to be a bit bigger than we expected at the beginning of the year. So we may have a bit of a cushion there, but we decided to take it prudently this time and wait until confirmation of Q2 results if we are to make a move on guidance. So yes, we could have a bit more of an upside that we expected in Spain this year now than what we thought at the beginning of the year. And regarding the Real Madrid,
Regarding Real Madrid, here we need to differentiate Spain from other markets. In the case of Spain, we do expect a certain level of regulation in terms of advertising for gaming activity. Actually, it is our company's opinion that it would be also good to reach a certain level of self-regulation if our colleagues in the industry agree on that. Having said this, we do not expect any type of limitation if you want to sponsorships. So actually we think our contract with Real Madrid is kind of a competitive advantage for us. Actually, in the extreme that there could be a certain, eventually, in a extreme scenario regulation or limitation for that, we have protection clauses in our contract or exit clauses in extreme cases. So we are, I think we are protected in any case.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
I would agree that in case of contraction in the advertising gaming, in gaming advertising, that the sponsorship increases in value.
Of course, and in extreme, where it also affects sponsorships, well, companies with a strong retail presence will have the upper hand. So in any case, I think we have a good position here. There.
Thank you, Miguel.
Thank you. The next question comes from Maxim Cook from Oddo BHF. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, I have a few questions on Argentina. In the country, your revenue progression is way beyond local inflation in terms of local currency performance. So is there some time, is there a point in time when you expect you'll be able to catch up with inflation? How does it work exactly? It's difficult in the environment to pass price increases fast enough, or is just difficult to do that given that the consumers are reluctant to take these price increases. More broadly speaking, in Argentina, what is the impact of the recession? Does it mean lower attendance, lower wages? Can you provide a bit more granularity on that? Thank you.
Okay, as I said in my earlier words, in Argentina, at the current level of inflation, together with a difficult macro scenario where the economy is in crisis, is reducing GDP, and at the same time there is a bit of uncertainty regarding the elections and the close future, what is happening is a combination of two things. First, the disposable income for leisure activities or for customers is not growing at the level of inflation. Inflation is having additional public service and devaluation effects that do not represent how the income or the disposable income for our industry is evolving in the players. So that's a first lag. And that keeps us a bit more comfortable in the sense that we are seeing this as an industry-wide situation. The market as a whole is contracting because the consumers are not having that much disposable income. Definitely, that disposable income is not following inflation as of today. Remember also that salary increases in Argentina usually happen between April and May. So we need to see how these salary increases materialize in this time of the year, and how the average goes, and how which is the level of lag or the level of gap between salary increases and inflation in this year in Argentina, which probably will be there and will not be positive.
Which, by the way, sorry, so far is very wide, that gap. I mean, salaries are lagging inflation by far, Mark.
So those aspects that usually with inflations of 30% are less visible, this time they are affecting the revenue of our industry and many other industries significantly in Argentina. And then there is the fact that, as we always have said, for inflations about 25% of revenue management mechanisms take time to kick in. It's difficult to accelerate that in order to meet inflation. But we are doing all what is in our hand in terms of changing the nominations, changing minimum bets, maximum bets, etc. All of that is being done and is helping us to increase revenue, but obviously is not enough. In the second part of the year, we're investing in renewing machines. That will also help. But definitely it will take time for all revenue to start to get closer to inflation. And that will take inflation to go down. Inflation is softening a bit, but still is very high, and we don't expect inflation to reduce significantly before the end of the year. So this gap will be there in Q2, Q3, and probably Q4 if things don't change more rapidly.
And could we expect activity to pick up from once the election is done regarding this aspect, I mean, what's your view, if you can comment on that, on a potential win of Mrs. Fernandez? Would that change the situation for you in Argentina?
Our revenue in local terms, our revenue including the tax increases, because you also have to consider that it's not only that the disposable income of our customers is lower, but also with the new taxes that are applied directly to prices, that also has an impact on the player, because their earnings are smaller than they used to be. So despite all of that, we are seeing consumer expense grow a bit more every quarter. That is not progressing as fast as we would like. April has been similar to the first quarter. In May, we are starting to see a bit of an improvement, but is very soon to talk. I think that after the summer, we will have a better picture. We definitely expect activity to pick up progressively during the summer, which usually is the high seasonality season for Argentina. But we are prudent on sending any message that we are going to get close to inflation in the short term.
Yeah, to clarify, Angel was referring to summer in the north, but actually it's winter in Argentina.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Okay. And in case of a change in government in October or November, I mean, would that have an impact on you?
Well, today, if you want, it's highly uncertain what will happen in terms of the elections. It's too soon, and actually the final candidates for presidency are not clearly defined yet. So the reality is that this company has navigated through different governments and political parties in Argentina, and therefore, I mean, we could have a combination of different macroeconomic strategies from whatever the new government might be versus what will be also, which is important for us, the governor of Buenos Aires province, which is a territory in which we operate, which is also, there are elections also for the province. So, there could be different combinations. As I was saying before, it is well known that the current government has a negative sentiment towards our industry. Eventually, if that changes, there is a different governor that could favor the industry, but also could have a different impact at the national level from the macroeconomic point of view. So here we have two aspects, if you want: the macroeconomic situation that has to do with the national authorities, and the regulation of the industry and the evolution of the industry, if you want, that has to do with the Buenos Aires province. As I said, I mean, we are not foreseeing necessarily negative scenarios, depending on the combination that whatever happens. But it's still too soon to predict what's going to happen, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Maxime.
Ladies and gentlemen, we kindly remind you, in order to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you're connected to the webcast platform, you may type your question directly into the Q&A window provided. Thank you. The next question comes from Cyrus Miller from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I just have one question on the reporting. In terms of the inflation adjustments, in the previous quarters there was, you know, inflation adjustments on EBITDA and then on other OPEX. Now it's more just on OPEX. I just wanted to understand how those lines are calculated and how we should think about one versus the other.
Well, I think that the difference in how it is calculated comes from the application of IFRS 16 that takes out the leases out of the EBITDA, and that makes things a bit more difficult. But maybe we were not pretty clear on the communication. But regarding EBITDA pre before applying IFRS 16, nothing has changed. And the way it is calculated, it is the same. What happens is that the valuation and inflation are more aligned this year, and the impact is being much smaller. We said that last year that we did not expect a significant impact from inflation accounting this year, and if anything, we could even impact a positive one. So far, it has been a small one, a negative 1 million in the quarter in terms of adjusted EBITDA. It goes beyond that at the net profit to a negative 3 million or so because of what happens below EBITDA. And you should expect a similar amount for the remainder of the year. If anything, probably the negative impact will decrease. But that depends very, very much on the equation between inflation and devaluation. Mm-hmm. Last year, there was much more devaluation than inflation, and that's why it was so negative at the end of the year with a negative 15 or 14, I don't remember. But this year, we expect a much more modest impact at all levels of the P&L.
Okay, and maybe just one more question on the regulation side. How are you guys viewing Italy going to the second half of the year? What are your expectations in terms of taxation on, you know, AWPs and VLTs? Do you think that we have now, you know, a framework that's going to remain stable over the next, you know, 1 to 2 years, or, you know, you have no visibility there, you think?
Well, if you tell me 1 of 2 months, I will tell you stable. But given the history of Italy, I think that we have to be prudent. The good thing about Italy is that our operations are so strong that have been able to, in the medium and long term, take over whatever the government has thrown to us. In theory, the next steps of regulation are more about defining the new type of machines that are going to be to substitute the current AWPs, the new online bid, and the new sports betting bid, the processes in which the government of Italy has been late and is late for a couple of years. I think they will focus on that, but I will not discard any tax increase. I think everything in Italy is now on a pause because they are waiting for the elections to see which is the balance of power between the two parties that are now in the ruling coalition, and then we will see. I think that the industry is now showing the impact of the tax increases more clearly than in previous ones. So I tend to think that the government should be prudent, but it is Italy, and we have all seen what has happened in the last year. So
Perhaps what I can add is we are not expecting a new tax increase. But we were not expecting tax increases the last 3 times. So Italy is Italy. So that's, I mean, and we have always said for a long time now that the level of tax pressure is in Italy is extremely high. So we don't see it should be continue increasing. But that is what we can say.
That is the nature of the play.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just on the, if I can follow up on one thing you were mentioning, the replacement of the current AWPs with the new AWPs, is there any risk there in terms of the local regulations in the regions and having difficulty perhaps putting new machines in spots that have, you know, been defined as sensitive locations and therefore it could be harder to put those machines there, or is that not really the case?
Well, those type of regulations are already being put in place. Everyone is dealing with that more or less, and we are not feeling a huge impact from that. In the AWPs arena, I think that thing is being digested more or less properly by the industry. Also, the capacity reductions have helped to do that on a positive matter. I think that the impact of that is more of having to change the software in many of the machines, which, as you know, in Italy can be done pretty easily, and the industry is preparing for that. So no, I don't think that is going to represent a major issue in terms of capacity deployed.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Miguel Medina from GP Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Very short one because I cannot understand my handwriting. Did you say that you expected a working capital outflow for the full year 2019 of between 10 and 15 million euros?
Yes, we said that the current, the number that we have seen in the first quarter, which has been pretty high, will unwind in the second part of the year, given to seasonality and some collections that are required from the governments. For example, Uruguay has already paid the late payments.
Yeah.
The Italian government has already paid the canon. So usually in the second quarter, we unwind much of what has happened in the first one. So at the end, we expect to end in a number of around 10. If you want to be a bit more conservative, around 15.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions. So I now give back the floor to the speaker of the company.
Thank you, everybody, for joining the call. As always, if you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to me or any other member of my team. And thank you again for your time, and I look forward to speaking with you for our Q2 results in early September. Thank you.